Previously on Compassion Radio.
Yeah. I mean, we can only get a small sampling of what it must mean for a million people to be driven out of their homes by killers and rapists, have to flee barefooted across hot sands carrying everything they own, and sometimes their aged parents or sick relatives and infants with them, without food or water, being pursued by horsemen and camel men with guns, often backed by planes and helicopters that strafe and bomb and burn. And their shelter doesn't consist of anything but sticks stuck in the ground, tied together in a hut-like shape and covered with laboriously gathered and hastily woven grass mats. These are things that Norm and I saw with our own eyes.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do. And this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. From the ends of the earth to where you live, this is the Daily Ministry Broadcast Journal that tells of the new thing God is doing in some of the world's toughest places. This is Compassion Radio. If there's a single word to describe the God whose message we proclaim over seven decades, it's faithfulness. In today's conversation, we're going to visit with a friend and ministry leader who's really more of an extended family member here at Compassion Radio. And Bram is going to continue with the second day of conversation and recollection of tales involving intrepid ministry that you just won't hear anywhere else. And by the way, this is a good time to remind you about our very special premium offer for March. It's the booklet, The Case for Easter by Lee Strobel. Yours by request for a gift of any size, but quantities are limited, so let us hear from you today. Details found at CompassionRadio.com. Let's send it over to Bram now for introductions.
Welcome back to Compassion Radio. Today on the program, we have a second segment that we're going to share with Jim Jennings, who is the president of Conscience International. And that word conscience rings true to his work and to the value to the kingdom, because he has brought a real conscience into places that need it badly. And he's also the executive director of U.S. Academics for Peace. Now, who's not for peace? But the question is, can you really accomplish peace? Well, Jim and Norm gave it a fair shot, and they became peacemakers in the biblical sense in a number of countries. And that's why we treasure the legacy that Jim and Norm brought to this program and brought to the body of Christ. And we're going to talk more about that today. Jim, welcome back to Compassion Radio.
Thank you.
Let's pick it up where we left off last time. We were talking about how divine appointments, those opportunities that God brings us because he just intends to remind us that he's directly involved in what's about to happen, by putting people and situations in our paths that bring a laser focus to the Holy Spirit at work in the affairs of men. Tell us about what happened between Eritrea and Sudan and what your ambitions were and what God did with your holy ambitions during those first few weeks in Sudan.
Well, first I have to say that Norm and I traveled together to Palestine, Iraq, Iran, Sudan, therefore, always seeking an opportunity to initiate beneficial projects, especially to help children. And over the years, we have managed by this to ship and distribute food, clothing, vehicles, books, medicine, wheelchairs, and medical equipment in a number of countries. We also built buildings and aided some refugees and supported schools and churches. So when we joined forces to travel together and to work together, we actually achieved a lot. When I first met him, I said, here's a husky ex-Marine and professional ski instructor who has been a peripatetic traveler across the world.
Now, there's an academic word right there, peripatetic, and it absolutely describes him.
He engaged in what in Arabic is called mu'amalat, charitable deeds, and that was the heart of Norm. Yeah. So beyond the inauspicious beginning of our work in Darfur, where we were thrown out of the country of Sudan in the middle of the night, and we managed to get back in.
That's a badge of honor right there, Jim.
We were greatly concerned about the situation in Eritrea, where religious persecution against evangelical Christians intensified, and we had been commissioned and were determined to collect facts about the situation, advocate a change in policy by the leadership and the ruling party there. It was a daunting task.
Yeah, it was.
It was difficult to actually get there and achieve, but We did, and I think this is one of the things I would credit Norm and his tremendous persistence, which matched my own, and we were good travel companions together.
So your ambition was to do above and beyond. That would probably be where you start. What one person might imagine was not enough. You brought the Council of the Wise together. You sought the Lord. You asked the Holy Spirit not to bless your efforts, but to show you what His efforts were, so that you could join in with Him in His intentions, His plans, His mission. And you did.
The strategic aims for a trip were simple: to conduct advocacy missions in Khartoum, the capital of Sudan, and Asmara, the capital of Eritrea, and to save lives in Darfur if possible. And we actually went out and picked up people who were struggling and straggling through the desert just to get to the camp where they might be able to have water and food. And we picked them up and took them there in the hot sun and on the desert, and hopefully free some prisoners in Eritrea. We managed to do that, but not until they had some help from their Christian brethren inside the country who smuggled them out to Sudan. And there we met them and got them connected with the United Nations, who could give them assistance in getting to safety in Europe. One of the girls that we interviewed had been a Christian singer on the street in Asmara and was selling tapes of her singing, was arrested for Christian evangelism and put in a metal container for many months, and she almost died there. And we were able to get her out, even though she'd been crippled by this experience, was in a wheelchair. We managed to get her out to Europe. So at times, this whole mission seemed in danger of collapse, but because of Norm's persistence and matched by mine, we were able to get things done that maybe people who give up easily wouldn't be able to do.
You brought out the best in each other.
I agree with that.
And the results of that are still bearing fruit in your life, and I know that Norm would love to travel with you even now, if he could. You have built on that legacy. You are still engaged in things that are on the cutting edge of mission and of compassion and of gospel outreach. What's been happening this year?
Well, we've done a lot this year in Haiti to restore roofs to homes that were damaged in Hurricane Matthew, but also to help the people in Turkey who have fled from Syria and Iraq. We have a camp on Lesbos Island in Greece that we're working with to help the Syrian refugees. There are 6,000 people there. We have a permanent staff stationed there. I just came back from northern Iraq, Kurdistan, where Norm and I had traveled together. And in that place, we were working in four hospitals and doing surgery with the surgical team. We even got up to the field hospital in a tent on the front lines of the battle for Mosul.
Wow.
And we saw casualties brought in who were dying and who were crippled and bloody from the fighting against the ISIS, or Daesh, as they call it in Arabic. So this is what we've been doing lately. We also do surgery every year in Ethiopia on crippled children. And we have work in Bangladesh, and we supply medical supplies to Nigeria. And so a lot of these are places that Norm had been with his great heart for mission, and a separate mission from my own, but that's the way he was. He didn't allow grass to grow under his feet during this work.
Every path, whether it was brand new or old, was well-worn by the time he was done with his trips. Now, at the beginning of our conversation yesterday, we just touched a little bit on the current work in Sudan, how those relationships even today are playing themselves forward. Now, when the Sudan mission back to the United States was swinging by, their first stop they demanded of the State Department was to come visit you. Now, I want to hear about that. After all these years, and after all the frustrations of working with the Khartoum regime, and all the fallout that happened with South Sudan breaking away from the country, there was still a connection, a respect for the work and the person that you are, that the delegation from Sudan would make an effort before traveling on to see President Carter. They wanted to meet with you. What happened?
Well, I got a call last week from the embassy of Sudan in Washington, and they said the ambassador wants to come to Atlanta and see you on his way to visit President Carter, but he wants to see you first. So we had a meeting with the ambassador and the head of the parliament and the head of the Foreign Affairs Committee of the parliament and some other parliamentarians. we did have that meeting. And when I got that call, and I said, of course, I'll be glad to do it, I said to someone, these people know who their friends are, because mm-hmm. it had been a few years since we had been there, but they remembered when we were there. And I'm just reviewing my notes here. I called Washington and spoke to the ambassador, and Norman called his friend El Fati in Khartoum incessantly. Mm. Tuesday night, we worked in the business center at the hotel in Khartoum until nearly 3 a.m. And we did this frequently. That is, we just worked until we got the result that we needed. And Norman yes. and I were very much involved in that. And we had to send 11 pages of documents, and we prepared over and over again proposals, and we had meetings and meetings and meetings. The funny thing is that when you're looking for a breakthrough in a negotiation, sometimes the hard work you do doesn't pay off, and somebody walks in and says, oh, I can help you with that because I know Norm Nelson. And, you know, that really went a long way.
Such a blessing to be able to get these wonderful insights from our dear brother Jim Jennings on today's Compassion Radio. And I promise we'll get right back to his discussion with Bram in just a moment. March is always a special time of year for us, since we officially just celebrated our 73rd anniversary of radio ministry on March 25th. This month, would you consider blessing us with a special anniversary gift of $25, $50, even $73? Or more? Remember, no gift is too small or too large for that matter. And if each of us does just a small part, God can truly multiply these gifts in amazing ways. Reach out to us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. And you can always find us online at CompassionRadio.com.
Sometimes the hard work you do doesn't pay off, and somebody walks in and says, oh, I can help you with that because I know Norm Nelson. And, you know, that really went a long way.
Is it okay to ask what kind of discussion transpired between you all?
Well, yes. I think that the Sudan government is aware that now they're fighting wars on three fronts, in South Sudan and then in the Nuba Mountains, and then in the east. They have a rebellion on their hands. They have great potential in that country, and it's frustrating for them that they can't break through all of this. And so they're asking for help, and they realize that things have changed in the world, and that they need to be more open to partnerships with organizations like ours who will help them and who are sincere friends. And so for that reason, they are asking for help as much as they can get. And they have opportunities, and they promise cooperation. So I think that the work that we did over the years with Norm and I, very persistent in touching base with every official that we needed to get the approval of in order to get the program going, that has paid off. That is the kind of thing that Norm and I did very beautifully together.
Peace can sometimes be a very slow-growing tree, and it seems that you all have planted good seed, but it takes a long time to break down that kind of soil and to water it enough that it can take root and not die a premature death. So the work you two have done over the years, as you say, is yielding some interesting fruit that people who realize the world has changed, it's gone on, and the old ways of dealing with things or coping with challenge or dealing with your enemies are not working anymore for many regimes.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And they found a real friendship in you that's personal. And by friendship, I want to make sure that our listeners understand that you're not talking about validating illegal behavior or unethical or immoral works.
No, you meet people where they are, and they can detect your sincerity.
So even in the midst of what would seem like atrocities going on around you, God's men march in there because you can't, as they've said many times before in the Middle East, you can't make peace with your friends. You already have them with you. You have to make peace with your enemies. So you treat them as friends so that they don't have to be enemies forever. And in you, that friendship, that God friendship, was modeled so that in the future they might see other people that would have been perceived as enemies as potential partners and even friends in the future.
And the amazing thing is that we met with the past three presidents of Iran personally. We met with the foreign ministers of many countries, and the former president and the vice president in Sudan, the president of Syria even, and had good discussions with all these people, advocating peace and asking for openings to do humanitarian work to help their own people there. And we got a great deal accomplished by that method. And people sometimes say, how did you do all these things? And I say one word, sincerity. Mm. And that opens the door for friendship, and you can have friendship in spite of obstacles or differences between you. And Norma's as good at this as anybody I've ever known.
Yeah, every time he would return from overseas, we'd hear the stories, oh, you wouldn't believe this new friend I made. And he'd tell a whole long story about somebody met at a cafe who just happened to be the finance minister of this nation, or something like that would happen every single time. And that's one of our great treasures as a ministry. Norm was willing to engage and love grandly.
Actually, it's how Norm got the door open in Sudan in many ways, because he was sitting in an airport in Saudi Arabia when nobody was around because they had a long wait. And there was a man there he began to talk with and made fast friends with. And he happened to be the speechwriter for the former president of Sudan.
Yes.
In Numeri. And he was able to actually get involved with that man who opened doors for us in Sudan. So it was Norm's friendly relations with people that open many doors.
Jim, I hope that you will mentor for me personally over the years to come how to be that friendly. I mean, this is something that's not just a natural skill, although it was very much part of Norm's personality. This is also a spiritual discipline.
It's a gift, yes. And if you...
How do you cultivate that?
Well, if you will realize the tremendous power that comes from connections with people everywhere, people everywhere. And doing that, it's not our natural nature. We have to extend ourselves to shake hands with that person, to greet strangers, to ask them about their own concerns. And I think Simone Weil, the French philosopher, a Jewish lady who became a Christian during World War II, she said, the surest mark of love is that when you ask another person, how can I help you with what you are going through right now? Isn't that simple? But it's really the attitude that Norm had, and which I enjoyed in working with him.
And what I've seen in both of you over the years is that you were willing to ask that question and then stick around long enough to get the answer.
The surest mark of love is that.
Yeah. Well, Jim, I would like to continue this conversation if you'll roll over with us one more time, because I want to ask more about the power of prayer. And I want to ask about the power of legacy and how we pay it forward to the next generation so we don't lose the power that comes with wisdom that people like you and Norm have cultivated and nurtured over the years. Would you join us one more time?
Yes, certainly.
What a great conversation today between Bram and our special guest, Jim Jennings, on today's Compassion Radio, and we'll continue tomorrow. Now, Bram and his wife, Sandy, are going to drop in just a moment with a special closing word, so stay close. Hey, real quick, I want to mention once again that Compassion Radio hit a tremendous milestone over the weekend that is really worth celebrating. This past Saturday, the 25th, marked our 73rd year of ministry on radio. 73 years of God's faithfulness to us in this ministry, which was originally known as the Morning Chapel Hour. That said, would you consider an extra special 73rd anniversary gift above and beyond your usual support? Maybe a gift of $5 or $10 for each year you've listened to the broadcast. Remember, no gift is too small, and if thousands of us join together, there's just no telling how God can multiply what you give in amazing ways. Our phone lines are open, and Paula or Lena would love to take your call at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. 2478. Oh, and one more item. Ask for your copy of the Lee Strobel booklet we're offering this month, The Case for Easter, with your gift of any size to Compassion Radio. But don't delay. We want to make sure we can get it into your hands before Easter arrives. That's The Case for Easter by Lee Strobel. Yours this month by request for your gift of any size this anniversary month at Compassion Radio. Let us hear from you today. And don't forget that special word from Bram and Sandy. You won't want to miss right after Morning Song.
In the garden where our Savior prayed, our salvation was secure. As he prayed, not my will, but thine be done. Who can know the torments of the cross, where his grace and love outpour? The suffering servant is God's only Son.
Say it all, don't they? Morning Song here on Compassion Radio. And with the last word, Bram and Sandy Floria.
Friends, I wanted to bring attention to our special premium offer this month. It's our gift to you for your gift of any size to support the Ministry of Compassion Radio. And this being our anniversary month, we definitely need to see people step up and help us begin that process of planning for great new projects and great new ministry all around the world. So we need you, friends. And this special book called The Case for Easter is a blockbuster in a lot of ways. It's not a hard read. In fact, it's a fairly slim little volume, but it's going to bring a very powerful argument for the power and the reality of the resurrection, especially at a time of year where people are open to discuss these kind of topics.
I'm excited to read this book myself because of our recent trip to Orlando, Florida for the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, where they showed the movie A Case for Christ, which is the story of Lee Strobel's search for Christ and the reality of who he was, coming to the realization that Jesus Christ was in fact a real person. He died and rose again for him. Watching that film brought about a lot of emotion for me. It was very real and honest. I loved it. I really hope that our listeners will make an effort to go and see this film when it comes out.
And it's going to be talked about a lot in the media in the weeks to come. Now, I've got to say that I've not been a real fan of Christian films over the years, but this film, my friends, is on par with the finest dramas you've seen out of Hollywood. ever.
Absolutely.
I'm really stunned about the quality of the acting and of the directing of this film. It is genuine, it is heartfelt, and it's going to make a big impact. Now, this book, again, is an excerpt from the investigation that Lee Strobel did into the reality of the resurrection. And this little pamphlet is going to be something you're going to want to have in hand leading up to Easter.
You're going to want to have this pamphlet in your hands to give out to friends of yours or people that you know that are questioning the reality of the death and resurrection of Jesus.
As we prepare for Easter being April 16th this year, we wanted to make sure to get this in your hands in time for the release of the film and for the Easter season coming up. So friends, please, as you support Compassion Radio this month, we'd love to send you a copy of this book by Lee Strobel, The Case for Easter. So order yours today.
Thank you, Bram and Sandy Floria. Before we go, here's a special reminder for our friends who listen to Compassion Radio. We consider it a privilege to share God's Word with you and stories of Christ's accomplishments here each day. The Lord has allowed us to partner together and minister the good news and compassion of Jesus Christ. Toward that end, your financial support right now will determine the future of Compassion Radio here in this area. Call or write to us now with your gift. Your involvement means the world to us. Thanks again for your support. Our toll-free number, 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address once again, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And online, as always, at CompassionRadio.com. On behalf of Bram Floria, Norman Cher Nelson, and the Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale, and we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.